Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
One thing I know people love weighing in on athletes that may or may not be fat and productive. Carlos Lee is getting a lot of love all of a sudden on the text page.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of love. And in light of the talk up in Kansas City that Patrick Mahomes may be fat this offseason, Seth posed the question to the audience, hey, who are the Houston athletes that we've seen over the last several years whose production may have belied their body type? You know, that they look a little like a recreational softball player. And yet, he's hitting 30 home runs and getting 95 RBIs every year. This is amazing.
Yeah, baseball, you can't even bring baseball into it because baseball is just so – they've got so many awesomely non-athletic-looking type guys or chubby guys or whatever. Carlos Lee, though, I think that when Carlos Lee – what did he break his ankle or whatever? Remember he stepped in a hole on his ranch? When you have a bad physique but then you have a curious off-field incident – or what sounds like a scare, that's when people start to get agitated. It's a weird, they're not necessarily related, but they start to look at it almost, there's agitation amongst the townsfolk when it comes to
there were
like
two
that.
Big there were two big things with Carlos Lee, because my radio career started right at the beginning of the Carlos Lee era, and the two big things that bothered Astro fans the most with Carlos Lee, one, the team started to get worse at the same time they signed him. He was their big signing, and then 2 years later they're in a rebuild, you know, maybe a little more than 2 years. They're in a rebuild a few years after that. One, the team wasn't as good. They just made the World Series a couple years before that. Two, Carlos Lee used to have this special dispensation where the team allowed him to leave spring training to come back here for the livestock show because he had a ranch and he bought a lot of big cattle and things like that. So that bothered people. That was one of those things like, if we were better at baseball as a team, maybe it'd be okay. But we're winning lately, and we're back to winning 82 games a year.
He had a 1,000-acre ranch, which is just beautiful looking. I'm looking
He's
at
a good
it now.
Player. Like, he was solid enough. If he was, the problem was he was maybe their best player during that era. If he's like your fifth best player, you're a pretty good baseball team, Carlos.
Sorry, Lee. I'm being jealous of his 1,000-acre ranch.
I know. Yeah. That's
we've got 63 acres up in my wife's hometown, and frankly, the neighbors are too close. I need 1,000 acres. I got to get 1,000 acres somewhere in Texas.
I got to look at the overhead shot now to see exactly how close.
Oh, no, and it's hills. It's 63 acres of hills and everything. So
still
that,
too close.
That feel, the surface area ends up being like 63 acres of hills. It feels like 200 acres. It's not enough. I need a damn county. I see too many people.
You still have people walking over looking to borrow your lawn tools and things like that when you got 63
acres?
Well,
we're around family, too. But even then, there's just too much. I need to – this is what I need. This is my simple desire someday. Yeah. I need to own 2,000 acres, which includes like my house at the top of a hill.
Yeah.
With like a 12-foot fence around those 2,000 acres.
A lot of deterrence to get to you, you know?
Yeah. The UPS driver up there was telling me about a guy that he goes to who has a scenario just like that. He says his driveway is a mile long and it goes up this hill. And the guy lives in, it's some super retired old dude who lives in, builds himself a little two-room cabin. He lives there with his dog. And the guy's loaded beyond belief. He gets these deliveries all the time, but lives very otherwise like kind of modestly. It's all agricultural hobby stuff and everything that he gets.
That's your dream.
And it sounds like heaven.
That's your dream. That's definitely your dream. All right, so NFL top 100 players starting to come out in dribs and drabs here. They're dropping like two or three new guys a day. They started last week. They're up into the mid-80s now. So they started 100, and they're counting down. And yesterday said, we've not seen a Texan yet. I'll tell you how many Texans I think are going to make this list in a second. But a former Texan dropped yesterday. 86th on the list, Laremy Tunsil. So this is voted on by his peers. The players vote on this. Laremy Tunsil, 86. So they do a two- or three-minute video on Laremy Tunsil. And it includes Joe Mixon at the beginning, some other offensive linemen around the league. These videos are all just fluff pieces about how amazing these players are, and rightfully so. That's what it's supposed to be. I have no problem with it. I find them enjoyable.
Yeah, and I've got no problem with his ranking here.
He's
being in the 200. Yeah, he's a good football player.
He'll end up being like the 12th offensive lineman on this thing when it's all said and done. If you recall, C.J. Stroud said this about Laremy Tunsil after C.J.'s rookie year. I believe this was on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast.
This is on the Pivot.
Pivot podcast. Oh, yeah, this is on the Pivot podcast. C.J. said this about Laremy.
You know, like, the main dude was LT. Like, you know, LT, like, he a vet. Like, yeah. He not doing an extra practice. Like, you know, like.
Okay, yeah, not doing extra
practice. That's a vet. Yeah, that's yeah. CJ's understanding what a
so
vet
funny.
Is. not doing extra practice.
That's hysterical, yeah.
Yeah.
So as part of this Laremy Tunsil vignette, this three-minute video, the very last person to speak in it was Will Anderson Jr., who had this to say about his now former teammate Laremy Tunsil.
What about LT?
Double whistle. Man. People always ask me, what was your welcome to the NFL moment? My welcome to the NFL moment was LT in practice. I was rushing against him one day, my rookie year, and, like, I've never had someone grab me right here and pull me down. Like, he, like, little boyed me. And I was like, yeah, everything they say about you is true, man. LT's just one of those guys where, like, he doesn't even have to do much. LT's a guy that, like, can just stay over to the side, and then come Sunday, he's not going to give up a pressure. He's not going to give up a sack. But it's just the way he prepares, the way he trains, everything like that. He's been doing it such a long time. I think he's the best tackle in the league.
This year, Laremy Tunsil takes his top 100 talent to Washington.
Yeah, I had to play that last part because, like, he's so good. He's on another team now. He's in Washington. And he's good.
The part that got you was the stays to the side, man.
Yeah. Yes, that's vet. That's basically Will Anderson's version of saying Laremy's a vet. He stays off to the side all week. And then, boy, does he show up on Sundays.
He is an awesome pass protector. Like, he's just technically so pure. He's fun to watch. He is, like, when it comes to pass protection,
yeah.
When he's not false starting. Those instances when he's not false starting, yeah, he's a martial artist. It's really cool to watch. But the part about Laremy Tunsil and how it all fit in last year, and the part that I didn't like was the false starts, the variety of false starts and pre-snap penalties that Laremy Tunsil would give you consistently year after year. He was consistently in the top 10 of total penalties in the NFL. Were selfish. Like him trying to time the snap to the point where that he's just trying to do the best to be sure that he's looking as good as he can in pass protection, that those false starts, and especially sometimes coming in very critical situations, ultimately it's selfish. And he never seemed to actually care about it. He was very fine with insinuating that it was the center's fault. Multiple different centers. And meanwhile, none of the other offensive linemen were having a hard time doing it, but Laremy Tunsil somehow had an issue with how the center was doing the snap count. Various other all-pro, like actual all-pro offensive tackles, like Trent Williams, those guys typically will get anywhere between 0 to 4 false starts in a year where Laremy Tunsil could rack up double digits consistently.
Yep.
It's selfish. And when it comes to balancing out and building your team, and when your offense is not nearly as swarm-like as your defense, you got to start to make some of those decisions about, all right, well, this is one of our highest paid guys. And man, the example he sets is makes a bunch of selfish penalties and doesn't like to practice.
Doesn't practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to build the kind of culture you want.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Absolutely. I think I wanted to make sure we played the CJ vet thing alongside Will Anderson, because these are the two guys, CJ Stroud and Will Anderson, that were brought into this organization to be the faces of each side of the football for the next 12 years for this team on offense and defense. And I think so far, so good. I think it's trending in a direction where this strategy is working for the Texans. But there's a baffling part of it to me, particularly with those two guys who work so hard and love to practice, that it's just kind of sloughed off. Like, Laremy's a vet. Ah, that's kind of funny. Will Anderson saying he stays off to the side. If not practicing is baked into your brand in some way, I got a little less respect for you as a player. You know, like, if that's part of it, what are the first three things that you think of with Laremy Tunsil? You know what I mean? And it's good pass blocker. I would say not practicing. I don't get past three before I say doesn't really like to. I'm not sure what his top level love for football is. You know,
like, yeah.
You know,
yeah, there's lots of people that are really good at stuff that don't necessarily like live and breathe it.
Yeah.
And the most curious thing to me, though, is the way that all these people will tweet out about, they'll tweet out his PFF, his Pro Football Focus pass protection grade, but they'll ignore all the other PFF grades. I don't like PFF grades. They're useful as a tool in some regards, but if you are going to live in that world where you're using PFF to say whether somebody is a good or bad player, why are you not also pointing out that his overall PFF grade puts him as the 22nd best offensive tackle in
football? Right,
right.
Whole story, man.
If you're going to live in that world, why are you cherry-picking stats to show how awesome a player he is?
Thank you.
And acting as if like run blocking and penalties don't matter at all.
Yeah. I'll get to the five guys I think are going to make the top 100 from the Texans. I'll hit that real quickly coming into the next segment. We want you to put your thinking caps on, though. The Awful Announcing linked to a podcast yesterday that talked about the most overcovered sports stories of 2025. What are the Houston sports stories that thus far this year you feel have been overcovered, particularly on our show? Well, I'm willing to take this as
the ones that you're sick of us
feedback.
Hearing, you're sick of hearing us talk about this nonsense.
Yes. What are the most overcovered Houston sports stories so far this year? Text in 713-572-4610. We'll do that coming up next.